Okay.
I like the psh in the background.
Great. All right.
All right, so I definitely am a little bit tipsy. So here's what we're going to do. So how we start every episode is where we talk about nothing for a while. Mm-hmm. And then one of us is finally like, hey, shut up. We need to start the episode. And then I say, okay, I'm going to do the lead-in. And then I mess it up a couple of times. But I'm going to do the lead-in.
Okay.
Hey, welcome to Hellbent, a feminist podcast for those who resist and persist. I'm Devin.
And I'm Varsha.
And I'm drunk.
Me too!
Oh, I'm not drunk yet. I am tipsy. But as we discussed in our Facebook group, which put a pin in that because I need to talk about Facebook again. But as we discussed in the Facebook group, Varsha, you and I tried to sit down yesterday and record like twice. And I completely broke. Like I felt like a broken human and I couldn't do it. And so I was like, hey, you know what? I can't do this. And you were like, why don't we have an episode where we just like blow off steam? And I was like, with alcohol.
And because
I'm a adult.
Yep. I can drink.
So I think, you know, and Varsha, I do love that you texted me earlier today. You're like, I'm really excited about tonight. I didn't make an outline. And I was like, honey, I don't think we need an outline. This is not an outline kind of show, but I do appreciate the tenacity.
Yeah. I'm Hermione Granger through and through.
Right, exactly. And so, but I do think if we were to give this episode a little bit of direction, I would say it's going to break down into a couple of parts. First, I think we should talk about the various news stories and items that have made us laugh, sob, hate, like scream, fairly scream. That are not, I'm not going to say not serious because it's all very serious, but the lighter side of nothingmatters.com. Oh, wait, before I forget, we're doing a drinking game as well. So, right. So survey says that every time the phrase men are trash comes up, we have to drink, which that's a fun one because, again, put a pin in that. I'm going to come back around to that. And every time Mitch McConnell comes up in conversation. And bonus round, every time bananas comes up.
Oh, yes. So, this is a very Hellbent-themed drinking game. I like it.
Very Hellbent-themed, yes. So, anywho, we're going to start with sort of the lighter side of politics. JK, there's no such thing, but we're going to make fun of some people. And then I think we can just kind of like freeform a little bit. I do have a lot. The only research I did for this episode was Google searching, like image searching John Cho.
Yeah, John Cho's hot. And it's never a waste of time.
Yeah, super hot. Super hot. And following, like, I mean, I already followed him on Twitter, but like going through all the social media accounts and like his IMDb page, like in like a borderline, like this is weird. I probably shouldn't be doing this kind of way. But yeah, so I've got a lot of pictures of John Cho that I need to discuss. And then, no, there's no and then. We're just gonna get started. So, Varsha, I think we should start by making fun of Ted Cruz.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. So Ted Cruz is the worst human being. Also the Zodiac Killer, right? And I'm just saying, like...
Wasn't his dad the Zodiac Killer?
Oh, sorry. His dad is Zodiac. No, I thought it was him. Tim is Zodiac Killer. His dad killed JFK, right? And then Ted Cruz also, like, is just the worst person. He just really is, right? So he, like, gets elected to the Senate, like, 6 years ago because Texas is weird. But since then, he's been, like, the worst person. He was pretty bad before this. But since then, he has overseen a government shutdown, has basically been one of the main reasons we don't have Merrick fucking Garland on the court. And now he's, like... Trump's biggest lackey, and it's the worst. And so, like, because Ted Cruz is so bad, I can't even enjoy a Heidi Cruz profile without getting angry at Ted Cruz, which is amazing. Yeah. Because this profile was fucking hilarious because she was throwing shade at her husband throughout the whole thing. It was great. Did you read it?
Yeah. I didn't.
Okay.
Was it on Huffington Post? Is that
no?
What
it was. It was on the Atlantic, right? Okay, so it's on the Atlantic, and basically on the Atlantic, she's talking about how she's basically the breadwinner, and how Ted Cruz wanted to play A Whole New World at their wedding for their wedding song, which is weird.
No. Actually, if Ted Cruz weren't the worst, like I actually find that kind of charming.
I know, right? But another weird thing is okay. So she's complaining in this thing about how because Ted Cruz is like always into politics and all this stuff, she can't get a second home. And I'm just like, this is the most tone deaf shit ever. But
yeah,
the favorite part of the episode, which is just like feminism goals, was her daughter, yeah, Caroline, while Ted Cruz is running for president, asks somebody, she's like, how much is Heidi gonna get paid, right? How much is mommy gonna get paid? And like Ted is like, mommy doesn't get paid for being first lady. And like Caroline is like, this is not a good deal, mom, you shouldn't take it.
This is not gonna work for me.
I was like, those are the correct questions, Caroline, those are the correct questions. So
yeah.
I'm just saying, Ted Cruz is
Yeah, Ted Cruz is the worst. And the thing is like, okay, the other thing that kind of shocked me, and I learned this more recently than I should probably admit as someone who follows politics for a living, but Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke are actually approximately the same age. And Ted Cruz has served in the Senate for the last 6 years. And that same period, Beto O'Rourke has served in Congress. He's a congressman from Texas. And I found that so striking because when you look at Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke next to each other, they don't look like they're of similar age, right? And I mean, part of that is a cultivated thing, right? Like Beto O'Rourke obviously cultivates like this youthful, hip, I'm a youth kind of situation. And Ted Cruz wants kind of a staunch, you know, old boys club kind of look. I feel like he comes off as much older than he is. He's only in his mid-40s.
He really does.
Maybe?
And I think it really is because of like, it's like a problem within conservatism in that they're just not cool. I can't explain it because like one, I'm a little inebriated, but two, like it's hard to explain, but like conservatism has never been cool. Because it's like supply side economics, and today it's like racism.
Right.
So it's like it's not a cool idea. It's just it's the least cool thing you've ever seen, because supply side economics and racism just creates more people and more inequality, or more poor people and more inequality. So it's not fun for anybody. And so I love it. And I just keep coming back to this Heidi Cruz interview, because later she's talking about how Ted wanted to be like in office from the beginning that she met him, from the day that she met him. Right. And when he applied to this job, right, she was like, yes, I encourage him to apply for the job. Yes. But truth be told, with his lack of experience, she didn't think he'd get it. And I was like, that's such a burn, Heidi. But also,
does anyone else really would prefer if Heidi ran? Like, I probably wouldn't like her either, but I would like really respect
this
her.
This is what I'm saying. I think a lot of female conservatives, except people like Ann Coulter and like Laura Ingraham, a lot of female conservatives, because the problems of misogyny still apply to them, they have to deal with a lot of shit. So usually they're more qualified because she is fucking qualified too. So, it was amazing. But yeah, you were talking about aging, right? I really think one, Beto skincare, I need to get on that shit. Two, it is weird that Ted Cruz like portrays himself as like the more experienced older guy when they're the same age, and it's like it's weird that he thinks that's gonna like get him more young support, because it's not, right? And also it's like one of the most stupid attacks that he's like launched against Beto is he's like, Beto changed his name to appeal to more Latino voters. That's dishonest. And first of all, Beto was like, no. My mom called me Beto since I was a kid. Yes, my name is Robert. Yes, I'm white. Right. And then everyone else was like, Ted, your name is Raphael. Like, what are you doing? Your name is Raphael.
Oh,
you changed your name to Ted to run for office in Texas. Or your middle name is Ted or something.
Right. I mean, and I really – it's just I was listening to, I don't know what, Rachel Maddow or probably Nicole Wallace, which are really the only two shows I listen to anymore. But and they were talking about how the nationalization of a campaign, so like the nationalization of like Beto O'Rourke's campaign, can actually be very damaging to the campaign itself. And, you know, if you look at something like John Ossoff, who was in the special election in the Georgia 6th, you know, he got so much national attention and he raised a ton of money. But ultimately, like, that national attention skewed the way we actually, like, looked at him. Right. And it looked like he had a lot more support than he did. But I feel like in this case, though, that's not really happening with Beto O'Rourke. And I really think it's because Beto is compassionate and charming and funny and, like, cute as a fucking button. But also because Ted Cruz is the worst. And I know that, like, I'm not supposed to say that, but he's such a good villain. And that's why people like this so much, right? Is because Beto, even if you're a conservative or liberal, it doesn't matter. You can tell that there's, like, a good guy, bad guy dynamic playing out here. And that's why the whole world likes to watch it, right? Because Ted Cruz is such a great bad guy. He looks like a bad guy. He dresses like a bad guy. He, you know, talks about his basketball prowess like a bad guy. Like, you know, there's just, like, he's just, like, hitting all of those tropes. Plus, you know, plus Trump was so horrible to him in the Republican primaries for president. And, like, not like to say, oh, poor Ted Cruz, but he was so terrible to him. And so for Ted Cruz to, like, turn around and, like, do, like, soul-sucking phone banking and then, like, have Trump come stump for him in Texas, I think no one, conservative or otherwise, is looking at that and going, yeah, Ted's my guy.
I think my favorite thing Lindsey Graham has ever said, and it's the only thing Lindsey Graham has ever said that I liked, was once Lindsey Graham was like, if you murdered Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate and the trial was in the Senate, nobody could convict you. And again, I'm not advocating murder here, unless Ben Sasse is listening to this podcast, because then I want Ben Sasse to know that I'm part of the left-wing mob. Like, it's just so true. The guy's unlikable. Like, it's one thing to be a conservative. It's another thing to be, like, a mean conservative who can't work with Democrats. It's a whole other thing to be a mean conservative who can't even work with other conservatives because you're that much of a dick. And I mean, like, actually a dick, right? So, like, at the first debate, right, at the end of the first debate, they asked that traditional question, say something positive about the other candidate. And Beto was like, Ted sacrifices a lot to, like, to do this job and to represent Texas. I thank him for his service because he gives up time with his kids and all this stuff. And Ted was like, oh yeah, ditto. But also, I've debated Bernie Sanders 3 times, and, like, you and Bernie are so alike. And he meant it as, like, a jab against Beto, because he's like, oh, like, Bernie's a socialist, you're a socialist, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm like, that's such a dick move to do. You don't need to earn a point here. No one's going to listen to this. No one's going to be like, oh, Beto said some nice things about Ted, so I'm going to vote for Ted now. Or no one's going to be like, Ted said some nice things about Beto, so I'm going to vote for Beto now. That's not going to happen, right? You just need to say one nice thing and move on.
Okay, does anyone else? As I'm listening to you, all I can think is, I really fucking miss. And again, I don't know if this was ever the case or if I was just too young or too uninformed to, like, know what was going on. But I really miss the days when, like, the biggest political scandals were about, like, I don't know, Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke, like, mildly insulting each other. Like,
I miss when a presidential candidate lost an election because he couldn't spell potato. That was fun.
That was
poor Dan.
That
Quayle.
Was fun. See, that's the kind of poor Dan Quayle. That's the kind of presidential scandal I want in this day and age. Like, you can't spell potato. Get the fuck out.
Oh my God. We've literally elected a president who can't dismissed. Spell on a daily basis. The man can't spell. I can't. He can't fuck fucking out. Spell.
Yeah. No, it's so stupid. Oh my God. Oh my God. I said stupid. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry. I will be cutting that out of the podcast. But
yeah,
for all
I apologize
five of you listening,
if I
live,
like, said some stupid if I say banana stuff on this live stream. Drink
bananas.
Bananas. Okay,
I'm
sorry.
All right, so I like to move on and make fun of Melania Trump.
This woman.
Because Melania Trump recently and I'm realizing I thought the show was going to be funnier because, you know, all of like the late night, like stand up people who do politics and they cover it funny and they're always funny. I'm like, I can do that. But then I remember that they have like huge writers teams behind them and are actually funny. Yeah. And I'm not funny. I'm just a little tipsy.
I'm not funny either. Yeah.
I apologize. I'm not funny. Not even in like my favorite murder way that people seem to like. I'm just not funny. So, but I would like to make fun of Melania Trump if this would at all be possible, because not too long ago. So Melania Trump's I'm going to back up even further. So the first ladies traditionally take on a project of some kind. And I have discussed on the show before, although not recently, my feelings about the position of first lady and how I actually don't really think it's fair to say that the president's spouse, the president's wife, has to take up the role of basically the nation's hostess, right? Because when you really boil it down, I mean, that's really what Jackie Kennedy reinvented it to be.
Exactly.
You know, giving
yeah,
tours
yeah.
to the White House, having diplomats over, entertaining wives. Like, that was really what she reinvented it to be. And that's really something that the first lady position has been, definitely since Jackie Kennedy. And I would say that Hillary Clinton obviously reinvented it because she took it as much more of a political role mm-hmm. than her
yeah,
predecessors.
I mean,
and
Eleanor
then,
Roosevelt also like really did some major
that's
shit.
That's true.
Fucking love her.
That's true. Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah. So, but I also don't think that it's really fair that we shoehorn, you know, political spouses into a role. I understand that when you run for office, it's like, it has to be a family decision, like a thing, you know, you don't do it in a vacuum. And I'm not saying I feel bad for Melania Trump, but I'm saying from, if you take a wider lens, a wider view, if we need to have a position like first lady, you know, forcing women who don't want to do it is just not a good look, right? No. If Melania Trump doesn't want to be first lady, I'm not here to sit and tell her that she has to do it.
Yeah, just
right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Or again, and I know people hate this, and I know it's weird and gross and creepy, but I mean, Ivanka Trump wants to be first lady. Why can't we just let her be first lady?
Yeah, she wants.
And there's
to do
precedent.
It. Yeah, I don't mean like she has.
Yeah, and
like,
there's precedent with other yeah. presidents who have used like nieces or you know female relatives if they didn't have a wife. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he would have been the first president to ever have a non-wife be the first lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you could just change the name for it. Like, I can't come up with a new name, but like, I'm not that creative.
Right.
But you find a new name, and then at the beginning of each administration, you hire someone else. That
right.
way, all the wife has
right.
to do is whatever she fucking wants, because you do you.
Right, and it can even be like presumed, like, oh, it's going to be your wife unless otherwise stated. I don't know. Anyway, that's a really long aside, too. But traditionally, first ladies have a initiative, a project, something that they take on for like, to do something good. Excuse me, I burped again. And Melania Trump decided that she wanted to launch the Be Best campaign, her initiative against bullying, which, I mean, just on its face is absolutely ridiculous. Like, I think we all understand how fucking bananas drink that really is.
Yeah. Okay. I've had my drink, but I'm just going to say, like, doesn't it bother people that Be Best should either be better, which is a really funny meme or like meme type language, or it should just be your best. It can't just be best. It's weird. It's weird, and it doesn't make sense. I'm not talking grammatically. I'm just talking like saying it out loud
yeah.
is weird. And I'm not making
so
fun of her English. I'm not being like an immigrant hater because I'm an immigrant too. I'm just saying like it's weird.
No, I'm making fun of everyone else in her office.
Yes.
Who was like, yep, this will work. This is fine. This is fine. We don't need to change this. Like, come on. Well, okay. And so her whole thing is be best. Anti-bullying, despite who she's married to. And then she has the actual audacity to say that she is the most bullied woman on the planet.
Oh my God. So I read this and I was like, what the fuck is happening? What are you saying? Are you, do you have a speechwriter? Do you have somebody to prep you for these interviews? She literally said, I could say I'm the most bullied person on the world. Could you, Melania? Could you? Like, no. And then so, like, the ABC News guy, like, he, like, responded, you're really the most bullied person in the world? And then she was like, one of them, if you see what people are saying about me. And I'm like, yeah, what they're saying about you is you're complicit, which you are, which you have been since you've married Donald Trump. Like, you just accept it. I know you didn't want to be first lady, but you were a birther before it was cool to be a birther with Donald Trump. You supported him during the campaign when you could have just gotten half his money and left and nobody would have, like, said boo, right? You could have done that every fucking day of this presidency, every goddamn day of this presidency. You could be like, I could get half his money, ruin his political career, and never look back because my parents are citizens now and it doesn't really matter. And obviously I don't like the guy because she doesn't. Like, she clearly doesn't. And, like, if she really does, that's even worse. Then she's definitely complicit, right?
Like, I if her life goal was to, like, hold her nose, marry Donald Trump, fuck him, have a kid, like, spend his money, live in his gold tower with his gold toilet. Like, I am not begrudging anyone that life.
It's your life. You do you.
You do you, right? My problem is when it comes to this guy now wants to run for president, and instead of her saying, okay, you know what? I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
She, like, kind of didn't say anything about it. Exactly. I said audacity already, but I'll say it again. And the audacity to then say, I am very bullied. I am a very bullied person. And I understand bullying best, be best.
No, like, I can't, because I'm just like, I think there are some bad taste jokes about, like, Barron and Melania, right? And, you know, fuck those people. No one's talking about those people. I'm not defending those people. Like, I'm literally saying people who are normal, who are talking about how Melania hasn't had an actual initiative and isn't actually doing anything with this Be Best initiative, and two, has been complicit for decades, like, that's not, like, bullying. That's just normal, like, facts and, like, criticism. It's nothing out of the ordinary, right? People have said worse shit about – excuse me. People said worse shit about Michelle Obama, about, like, how she looks, how she talks, how she acts. People have said a lot of shit about Hillary Clinton. People probably said a lot of shit about Laura Bush. I just don't remember. So, like, Melania, like, one, suck it up. Because, like, your husband bullies people every fucking day and he never apologizes for it. So, like, I don't understand what you want to do.
Also, whenever I have, like, a flicker of maybe compassion for Melania Trump, mm-hmm. and, you know, I go off on my whole tirade about the first lady, which I still stand by. Because regardless of Donald Trump and his whatever the fuck he's doing, because it's not a presidency, I still think that the office of the first lady is kind of a fucked up institution.
Yes.
But... okay, but, like, regardless of that, though, you know, she really fucking loses me, because she also said that survivors of sexual assault shouldn't report their attacks unless they have evidence, and sort of doing this, again, I'm very excited that I'm drunk and about to talk about the patriarchy, but here we go. Because she's really propping up this patriarchal view of sexual assault is something that you have to prove,
exactly.
Right? And that I've never been sexually assaulted, or if she has, she works within the system that ultimately benefits her. And so, you know, stays silent and wants to keep other women silent too, because the only way the system works is with silence. The violence is perpetuated by the silence.
It rhymes.
So when she plays, it does rhyme. I would say we should put that on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker, but that's awful.
I know. It's not a nice thing to say. It's like there was the saddest poetry I ever saw was it was on Twitter a couple of days ago. I forget who tweeted it, but it's like, men are more likely to be sexually abused than accused of sexual assault. It rhymed though. But basically, like, men are more likely to be sexually abused. Men are more likely to be sexually abused than falsely accused of sexual assault. Oh yeah, that was the rhyme. Men are more likely to be sexually abused than falsely accused, right? And, like, it's just true. But again,
right?
It's too sad of a rhyme to put on a t-shirt, but it's true.
I'm not doing that. Also, I'm just going to, like, take a hard left. I know we were talking about something, but I no longer care.
fuck Melania Trump.
Can we talk? Yeah, I don't care. Can we talk about this whole idea of the hashtag him to.
Oh my God, this is the stupidest thing. First of all, men are trash. Drink.
Drink, that's fair. okay.
It's so dumb.
That's good. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. I believe it was Leslie Knope that put it best. Men's rights are nothing.
It's garbage. Go away. That was my favorite episode. So she's running. Okay, so this is a tangent too, but okay, again, I'm already a little tipsy. So like, Leslie Knope is like running for city council, right? And it's like a pie making contest, and it's like a play on Hillary Clinton from way back. And she doesn't want to go to the pie making contest, and like her husband doesn't want to go because Ben is like running her campaign. And then everyone's like, "Oh my God, you're destroying society!" And then like these men's rights activists like start like marching up, and she's like, "Men's rights are nothing. You're stupid. Go home." And I'm just like, I love Leslie Knope. Leslie Knope is my
men's
hero.
Rights. Men's rights. What would you say? The male men, where are you? Ah, yes, you are ridiculous. And men's rights is nothing. and like, so this whole him too thing just reminds me of that entire scene, which I realize is, you know, look, it's like a parody of a parody of a parody. Baked into a parody, men are trash drink.
Okay, yeah, men are trash, yeah. But okay, so I had a drink, but obviously this him too thing originates from something serious, and the serious thing is
right.
Buttface Brett Kavanaugh. I'm sorry.
She's called Buttface?
Justice Buttface Brett Kavanaugh.
Justice Buttface.
Justice Buttface. That's your new name, Brett, because Brett is a dumbass name. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh my God, I want to get that printed on one of those little, you know, those little like desk things yes. that has like, you know,
those,
Justice Buttface.
Like those mouse pads? Like, I want a mouse pad that says Justice Buttface. I'm sorry. Okay, so I was talking about how it comes from Brett Kavanaugh. So like after these Brett Kavanaugh hearings, right, and we realized Brett Kavanaugh is a fucking monster, this one mom posted on Twitter, "My son is like too afraid to date now because like everyone and any woman can like accuse him of like sexual assault." And like the son responded being like, "No, I'm not." Then it like the hashtag blew up because like every conservative men's rights activist and every conservative like woman was like, "Oh yeah, this is a real thing. Men are actually afraid of being falsely accused." And I'm like, no, you're not. It's so rare.
Yeah.
It's so rare. But well, it really bothers me that like that's like an actual thing some men are afraid of, because like it's really hard to avoid being falsely accused. Don't be a fucking creep. I don't know, man. I've gone my whole life without men being fucking creeps to me. And when they are, it's really obvious.
It's really, really.
And so, like, I'm just saying, like, it's really obvious the men who were creeps and who weren't creeps. It's like night and day. Like, yeah. I'm sure there are, like, blurry circumstances, but usually it's pretty obvious when you're being a creep and when you're not.
Right. I mean, look, ultimately, this whole concept of him too is just a whole bunch of. It's Donald Trump seeing himself in Justice Buttface. I can't call him anything but that now. Seeing himself in Justice Buttface and all of these men who are being, you know, accused of the sexual misconduct that they have perpetrated in their lives. And Trump is just terrified because he's always lived within this system that said, "Well, yeah, but you can get away with it." Like, yeah, you do that. We know that. We see that. Everyone knows it's an open secret. But you can get away with it. And so him co-opting even the like language pattern, the me too, the him too, this idea that men's lives are ruined by rape in the same way that women's lives are ruined by rape is actually just frankly disgusting.
Yeah, it really is. It's like saying like, "Oh, won't you think of the men who could be falsely accused?" And like, why don't you think of all the women who actually were raped, whose rapists didn't go to jail? Or why don't you think of the fact that so many women don't report? This is one reason they don't report, because for some fucking reason, you empathize with the man instead of the fucking victim. And I'm like, what the fuck are
you doing? We talked about this in an episode. You talked about
Himpathy.
And the concept, himpathy. And the concept that everyone in the room empathizes with what the man is going through, even if what the man is going through is nothing.
Nothing. Men's rights are nothing. Go home.
Go home. Men's rights are nothing. Go home. Drink.
Drink.
Okay, wait. So speaking of that, we're going to circle back around to the pin I put in Facebook.
Right. Oh, my God. Fucking Mark Zuckerberg ruining our fucking lives.
Ruining my fucking day, literally. Because I actually was like, I had a couple meetings this morning and I knew we were going to do this tonight. But I had actually like a pretty open day, which never happens and has not happened in the last, I don't know, 10 weeks leading up to the midterms or so. But I was like, cool. This is some shit. I'm going to get on Facebook. I'm going to comment on pictures of my friends' babies and like, you know, reconnect with all of the reasons I say that I'm on Facebook, which is a lie. I'm still on Facebook for the political content, but like I can say like, oh, I just do it to keep, you know, keep in touch with my friends and family. This completely nonsense tangent brought to you by this bottle of Pinot Noir that I'm drinking. But anyway, so I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna comment on some dog pictures. Like, I feel good about this. And I go to start commenting on dog pictures, and I get this pop-up. And it says, oh, you violated our community standards. Like, you know, two comments that you made violate our, I don't know, nice white lady rules.
Applaud a member of the House beating up a journalist like a president did? Is that why you were banned?
No, you know what? It's not, because this is actually worse what I did.
Oh, really? Devin.
I'm really bad. I'm a bad girl. I wrote, men are trash. I commented on something.
How dare you? This left-wing incivility has gone too far.
Okay, but there are two comments, and the other one is actually funnier, because – so the one of them was just men are trash, and then the other one was men – oh, God. Because – okay. I have to back up again. Guys. Oh, my God. I said guys. Woo. Okay. I'm going to edit that out of the podcast. So for our one person still listening, you now know that I said that. Varsha, I'm sad. No one's listening right now. It's okay.
It'll be funnier when it's online, when it's actually live. But yeah.
I don't think it will be, but it's fine.
You know when it's going to be really funny? When I'm in front of the Judiciary Committee applying for a judgeship, and they're like, hey, listen to this podcast where you called Justice Brett Kavanaugh Justice Buttface. And you're like, and I'm like, oh shit, I guess I'm not going to be a judge now. That's what is going to be really funny. Senator Lindsey Graham is staring at me. He's like, Varsha, I can't make you a judge. And I'm like, you know what? Fair. It was worth it.
Senator Lindsey Graham, like wearing an old man diaper, is like, Varsha.
You can't be a judge.
You cannot.
I don't have a South Carolina accent, but like, he's like, Varsha, I'm sorry. I cannot vote to confirm. Oh, my God. No, you know, okay, I'm going to rant about this later, but go on. What were you saying about Facebook?
Okay. All right. This is another tangent. Okay. On the Facebook group, one of our brilliant, lovely hellions was talking about this project she's taken on where she goes on dating apps. And then when men message her, she asks them if they've voted already. And she's been posting screenshots of her experience. And on one of them, one guy said something I don't even remember, something along the lines of like, I don't vote. And I responded, and it was supposed to be sarcastic, though it's the internet, so nothing's really nuance is dead. And I said, oh yeah, it's so obvious that men are too uninformed to vote.
Oh shit. That's so true though. Men are too emotional to vote and run for office, Devin.
To vote. Right. So I got flagged for that one, and the men are trash.
Did somebody report you? Is that what happened?
So we've had discussions about – I haven't – so I was banned from Facebook for 24 hours, so I couldn't comment on dog pictures. Oh. But I could read everything, and I had our group mods – Crystal, basically say like, oh, I'm banned. Like, that's why I'm not posting. And people were – you know, we were like having this – again, we. I was not having this discussion because I couldn't – talking about like, oh, was this something that was like – was it where you reported, like, especially because it was within the group? And we've come to the conclusion that, no, it's just an algorithm that they're using.
Wow.
Yeah, which is really scary. And, you know, it kind of is one of those, like, slippery slope, cuts both ways kind of thing. Like,
because you want the Nazis off, but you also shouldn't be punished for saying men are trash. Drink.
Right. Thank you.
This is a fun drink.
Well, but that's it exactly. I know. But also, like, we're talking about two totally different things. We're talking about me saying men are trash and obviously sarcastically saying men are too uninformed to vote, which I still think is funny. And fucking Nazis. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, this is the level that I'm being put on. And, you know, there was an article about this one comedian talking about how, like, yeah, a lot of women are being banned for writing men are trash on Facebook. And it's just sort of, I mean, it's a lot of things. I actually have had a lot of emotions today about it because I'm a very sensitive bunny, y'all. I'm a very sensitive bunny. But, I mean, I'm pretty fucking pissed.
Same.
Like, first of all, I've said way worse things than men are trash on Facebook before.
Men are fucking trash. Yeah. Ban me now, Zuckerberg.
Men are fucking trash. Exactly. Come at me, bro. Come at me, Justice Buttface. I don't want to be a federal judge anyway. Go to hell.
No, I actually think it's going to be really fucking funny because it's going to be like, it's going to slap me in the face, but like in a really funny way where I know the job that I'm applying for that's offended by this podcast wasn't worth it anyway.
Right. Well, I'm going to like fly out to wherever you are and be like, I'm here to see this in person. Don't mind me.
You're the one behind me in my confirmation hearing laughing your ass off as I'm being grilled about Hellbent.
Exactly. Like, don't mind me. I'm here to just mock her in person. I couldn't do it via the internet anymore. But yeah, so I was banned from Facebook for saying that men are trash. But you know what? I stand by that.
Okay.
Someone got into it with me. They're like, oh, but that's really harsh. And I'm like, not particularly. Actually, I thought I was being quite gentle. And they're like, no, but like, not all men. I was like, stop. Mm-mm.
I fucking hate that phrase.
This is the problem.
I fucking hate that. You know, like a phrase that's worse. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, the worst thing you could ever hear is, oh man, like we had sex last month and now I have herpes. Like that's the worst thing you think you could hear. But really, the worst thing you can actually hear is somebody saying, not all men.
That's what the worst thing you could hear? Wait, that's a weird thing to jump
to. Okay, wait. There are other worse things. Okay, so another worst thing is like, oh, like somebody calls you and they're like, yeah, your family's dead. Yeah, that's really bad. What I'm saying is that like,
we got so dark. It got so dark, Marsha. Wait, this came out of nowhere. And now I know it's on your mind all the time.
This was on my mind all the fucking time.
Herpes.
And like dead family. Fuck. I'm sorry. Whiskey does this to me. If anyone's listening, I apologize.
No one's listening. Don't worry about it. This is just for you and me at this point.
Okay. So people who say not all men have no capability of thinking. They have no capability of like of thought, of intellectual thought or like higher order thought or whatever you fucking call it. Because I'm just like, how can you not realize that obviously not all men is fucking implied in my fucking sentence when I say men are trash?
Right.
Like it's fucking right. When I say men are too uninformed to vote, obviously I don't mean all fucking men. Fine. Justice Breyer can vote. Go ahead, Justice Breyer. Go vote.
You're allowed to vote. Like, Barack congratulations, Obama, Justice Breyer. You can fucking vote.
Like, my dad, he can vote. You know why he can vote? I told him who to vote for. That's why he can vote. It's his first time voting. I'm so excited. I mean, my first time, too.
Oh, that is really fun. That's really – oh, my God. It's your first time.
I know. It's gonna be so cool.
That's so exciting.
Because
– oh, my God. That's so exciting.
I get to vote for Barbara Lee, even though I know she's not, like, really running on opposed. Oh, Barbara Lee's. But I fucking love her.
It doesn't matter.
Okay, so wait.
I'm voting for Brad Sherman. My favorite joke that never got off the ground from, early cuts of Hellbent was – so my congressional representative is a guy named Brad Sherman, who was one of the first people to file articles of impeachment against Trump. And he's kind of a badass, but he looks like your dad's friend's accountant. And one of my favorite jokes that I used to make that no one thought was funny, but I still love, is I used to say, he might look like your best friend's dad's accountant, but you know that that guy plays some jazz flute on the weekend. Because I was trying to be like, but he's like secretly cool.
I think that's
but
funny.
No one knows. Thank you, Marsha.
Your congressman is secretly Duke Silver.
Yes. Okay, that's what I was trying to get at. And no one thought it was funny.
I think it's hilarious. Okay, wait. So we're going to take another sharp right turn into another rant because this motherfucker is my fucking arch nemesis. Okay. So as the listeners
know, Betsy DeVos, that's mine.
As the listeners know, I'm getting a PhD in US history. I am not an expert in US history, so I don't know everything. Okay. But I know a couple things. I'm like, I'm pretty good. I'm like, I'm okay.
You know more than I do. You know
One of your favorite senators, Ben fucking Sass, who I wish his last name was pronounced Sassy. That would be cooler. So Ben fucking Sass, senator from fucking Nebraska, got his PhD in history from Yale, right? In U.S. fucking history. This guy used to be a fucking historian, right? But I guess he couldn't get a fucking professorship, so he became a senator. And this motherfucker has been treating all this civility politics bullshit and these attacks against the left-wing mob of the Democrats crap, right? And all this bad faith stuff. He's like Jeff Flake, but more angry tweets with no action whatsoever, right? He's like even worse than Jeff Flake somehow. So today, this motherfucker tweets.
You're worse than Jeff Flake.
this stupid-ass senator is like – I'm sorry, I said stupid. But this senator is like, the difference between America and most nations across history is that we use persuasion instead of violence. When we stop trying to persuade each other, things can only go to a darker place. You motherfucker, this country was founded on violence. Literally, we were founded on violence. We were founded on the violence of, like, our revolution. We were founded on the violence of war. We were founded on the violence of genocide of Native American peoples. We were founded on the violence of slavery. Violence is the history of this country. It's the history of most nations, but it's definitely the history of this fucking country, okay? Think of the Trail of Tears. The Trail of Tears wasn't the fucking Trail of Persuasion. Like, the Boston Tea Party wasn't an actual fucking tea party. Tarring and feathering isn't like paper mache time. Like, what the fuck? Ben Sass, where did you get your history degree? What did your professors teach you? What are you doing? I can't. And so my favorite tweets were history PhDs responding, being like, give your PhD back, bitch. Like, what are you doing?
Give it back, bitch. Give it to me.
I can't. I'm just like, this is so sad. But then, you know, it settled in. It's been a few hours. And I realized, oh, man, I can always fail up. Because if this guy could become a fucking U.S. senator after getting a PhD and learning apparently nothing about U.S. history, I have a pretty cool life ahead of me. Because, oh my God.
That's true.
But yeah, I still think
of the line. This is like the eighth time we've referenced Parks and Rec, which really should have been part of the drinking game. I'm now slurring my words, so you're welcome. I'm on glass three. I'm 30. This is 30.
This is my fourth drink, so I'm like hard into it, man. It's like intense.
Hard into it. One of my favorite lines from Parks and Rec is when Ben, not Ben Sass, but the cute one from Parks and Rec, wanted to run. You know, he was approached by the woman, Genevieve, to run for the House of Representatives. And he goes, me? Am I qualified to run? She goes, Ben, it's the House of Representatives. You're overqualified.
So good. My favorite part of that series is that, like, first Ben runs, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's time to, like, run for governor or something. And, like, instead of Ben running, he's like, no, Leslie, you're running. And I'm like, holy shit, running. Supportive marriage goals. So, like, you know how you're like, oh, yeah, John Cho is my dream guy? No. Adam Scott acting as Ben Wyatt is my fucking dream guy. And again, I have been criticized about this because I made this joke about how Ben Wyatt is my dream guy on a first date. I probably should not have made that joke. That guy did not text me again.
On a first date, maybe not.
Yeah, that guy did not text me back. But he was like, oh yeah, I hear that a lot. Apparently women really want to date Jim from The Office, Ben Wyatt, some other guy. And I'm like, yeah, but that's so true though. And he's like rolling his eyes. And I'm like, okay, no, Parks and Rec, Ben Wyatt is amazing. Fuck you. So I'm just saying.
Right.
Shouldn't have been on
okay,
first
well,
date,
since we're talking, still. Since we're talking about men I love, I want to talk about John Cho some more. Here's the thing. I think it's a great, deep American travesty that John Cho has never been the sexiest man alive.
Right?
Because if you spend 5 minutes perusing the Google image search of John Cho, like, if you're not almost pregnant as someone who could possibly get pregnant, if you're not almost pregnant by the end of that 5 minutes, I don't know what you're even doing with your life. I mean, and recently he's been rocking like this goatee.
Yes.
And I'm really into facial hair. And so John Cho with a goatee is basically like it's like borderline pornographic for me. I'm not going to lie.
I don't understand what happened in my brain. Because, like, I think, like, 5 or 6 years ago, I was like, ew, facial hair. And then, like, one day, I don't know when it was, a couple years ago, I was like, oh, yeah, no, facial hair is the shit. And so, like, anytime right. a celebrity gets facial hair, I'm like, oh, my God, what is happening?
Yeah.
Like, Idris Elba yeah. got facial hair.
Oh, Jim from The Office. Jim from
Jim
The Office.
Jim got facial hair.
Some facial hair.
Fucking Krasinski with facial hair. Krasinski. Lost my shit. Oh, my God.
Lost
also,
my
he got abs. Like, yes. Yeah, Chris Evans, sure facial hair. Kill me now.
Mm.
Tom Hiddleston.
Kill. Oh, ugh. Yeah.
Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Perfect. Ooh, Chris Evans. Chris Evans is good. We talked briefly about this in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Chris Evans is great. But like I said, my Chris is secretly Pratt because I think he's the most attractive man. It's facial hair. It's all facial hair. Super attractive. But I also know that he's a dick. Like, he's a dickwad, and I know yeah. that.
Okay, so.
But, like, still.
I have a lot of favorite Twitter accounts, but my favorite one is called Retrievens. It's spelled, like, retrieve, but no E at the end, and then A-N-S, because it's Chris Evans as Golden Retrievers. And it's literally pictures of Chris Evans side next to pictures of Golden Retrievers. And it's fucking adorable. You, like, everyone must go to this Twitter account. You must follow it because it's the best way to peruse Twitter because they're reading about death, destruction, like racism, blah, blah, blah. And then you see a golden retriever and a hot picture of Chris Evans. It's the best day.
You're like, yeah, this is fine. Yes. This is going to work for me. This is going to work for me. But the other thing is like John Cho is like very underrated
yes.
as an actor. Like he's been in so many diverse things and they are all great. And I'm a huge nerd and I love Star Trek. And so him being Sulu on Star Trek is very important
so
for me
important.
And my continuing sexual education.
Yes.
But like, but he's also been, he's been in horror stuff. He's been in, obviously his like wheelhouse is
yeah.
comedy, but you know, he's been in like more dramatic roles. He was on an episode of House, which I know is very
random. I love
random,
that episode
and
of House.
You're not supposed to care. I know. It's amazing.
He is a really good actor in that episode. Because, like, okay, in this episode of House, this guy, the guy who John Cho plays is, like, into, like, a really interesting kink and has, like, an infection and, like, has an issue, right? But, like, he hangs around with his dominatrix a lot. But it's, like, a lot of really good yeah. acting because his parents don't
It is a lot of really good
yeah,
acting.
But also Harold and Kumar is fucking genius, right? So, like, basically all throughout high school,
yes.
actually most of high school – a lot of boys would like randomly talk about Harold and Kumar and I never understood what was happening.
Sure.
And then once I finally just sat my ass mm-hmm. down and watched Harold and Kumar go to White Castle and my life
yeah.
was changed. It's an amazing
yeah, yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's fantastic. It's hilarious. And it is hilarious. And it is definitely like, you know, stoner humor,
yeah.
but like that doesn't make it,
doesn't
bad.
Make it bad.
That just makes it stoner humor.
Yeah.
But
if you're not into
anyway.
Stoner humor, you won't like it.
I don't know.
But I like it.
You won't like it. That's fine. But yeah. So I don't know. Varsha, I feel like we have really traversed the topics here. And I would like to end this episode by talking about your dating
life.
Oh,
yes. Okay. This is good. Okay.
Because I love talking about your dating life. So here's the thing. I also, Hellions, I want to say this very quickly. So when we started the show 2 years ago, been through a lot of shit and whatever. And when we hired Varsha as a research assistant initially, and then she's obviously become such a much bigger part of the show. She's a producer, she's a co-host, she works on the other two shows that we're producing. She's doing her own interviews. Exclusive, because I'm drunk and I'm gonna tell you this. Varsha is interviewing Rebecca fucking Tracer.
It's happening. I just emailed her and her schedule
was
like, it's gonna happen. And I was like, fuck yes. Yes.
Exactly. So she's amazing. But she's also become actually one of my close friends whom I text and call regularly.
Yes.
And we've recently been talking a lot about her dating life because she's a youth who's dating and also getting a PhD. And it's wonderful. So you've been dating a couple of guys and you told me about one guy recently. And you don't have to share any details you don't want to share. But I'm going to tell you that she told me that he looks like Prince Harry, which works for me.
Adorable. Okay. So first of all, Berkeley is not a good place to date men. I'm just going to put that out there. I don't understand how people fucking meet people in this fucking town. I don't get it. Everyone is performing and it's weird. And everyone is also super busy or working in Silicon Valley, like creating the next app that does nothing. I'm generalizing. I know there are some nice people here. I'm just saying it's really hard, right? Or they're all like jerks who will not text you ever again, which is fine if that's what you're looking for. Sometimes it's not. But recently I met this person and we went out to coffee and it was great. He didn't talk over me. He didn't interrupt me. He didn't tell me the DNC rigged the primary. It was all good. It was going great. And then I was like, no, this is too good to be true. So I go for a second date. The second date, the same shit happens. The man is a perfect gentleman. We share similar tastes in music. We have weird interests in politics. We like history. He likes IR. He was in Mali United Nations. Who's in Mali United Nations? I'm like the only nerd who's done that, right? Like, what the fuck? And then we're going on a third date to see the buffalo in Golden Gate Park. I'm going to repeat
this. Okay, literally she told me this. She texted me this. She texted me this and then I threw up in my mouth repeatedly for 4.5 minutes. And then I finally responded and was like, you guys.
So this is a dumb inside joke between us because we already have inside jokes because we're adorable. And when this non-relationship eventually crashes and burns, I'll joke about it later. But like, as of right now, we have an inside joke where I was just like, no, there aren't bison in Golden Gate Park. And he's like, yes, there are. And I'm like, no, I've lived here for 5 years. I would know that. And apparently there fucking are buffalo in Golden Gate Park. They were transferred here like a century ago or something from like the middle of the country or like a long time ago. And so they just roam around there in a paddock.
That's amazing.
And you can go fucking see bison or buffalo or whatever. So I was like, okay, well, you got to fucking show me these buffalo or we're not going on a third date. So I'm going to go see the buffalo. It's going to be great. Yeah. But basically, the major selling point of this is he thinks I'm smart.
He looks like Prince Harry.
Yes. Also, he looks like Prince Harry.
Oh, that too.
Yes, he looks like Prince Harry.
Do you know how like, we went for totally different things?
That's like that's the shallow reason I definitely like him. The less shallow reason that's I like him is that he's smart and he thinks I'm smart. Literally.
And he thinks you're smart. That
I know.
So
like we're ending our first date and we're walking out and I'm like, did I talk? I like all the crazy neurotic things are going in my head. Sorry, I said crazy, but all the neurotic things are going on in my head. I'm like, oh, did I talk too much? Oh, like. Is like my lipstick still on, blah, 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 blah. Like I'm freaking out about all the stuff. He's like, we should totally hang out again. Let's exchange numbers. You're so smart. And I was like, whoa, never had a positive reaction like this. Usually this doesn't go this well. Literally, wait.
So I'm sure no one has thought of this, but can we just dedicate an entire show to dating mishaps and dating stories? I'm sure that doesn't exist or
your
anything.
Your sarcasm is well known. But
thank you. Maybe you should talk to Facebook because they obviously did not get it the first time around.
But yeah. So like, wait, I think people have already heard this horrific date story, but I want to tell it again because this is a totally different guy. Okay. This is a while ago. So I go on a date with this guy. He seems like super nice over the phone. And then I meet him and within like the first hour, he's telling me multiple times, like not just like two times, but like six times that he owns three cars. And I'm like, okay, great. You fucking own three cars. And then, like, I was like, okay, cool. And then the second hour of the date rolls in, and I'm like, fuck, I want to leave. I'm wasting too much time on this person. This is going nowhere. And then in the second date, I inevitably bring it to politics because my brain cannot go anywhere else. I apologize to all the future men I will date and the cats I will eventually adopt because I can't talk about anything else, okay? So I'm like,
cats and politics, bitches. Cats and politics.
Yeah, so I bring it to politics because Trump did something crazy that day. Because Trump did something bananas that day. Drink.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
good.
So he did something.
Wait, we haven't said Mitch McConnell yet. Mitch McConnell, drink.
So Trump did something bananas that day. And so I bring it up to make conversation because he's boring, okay? And then He starts going on about how he fucking voted for Jill Stein and the DNC rigged the primary. Like, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
No.
You are a rich, like privileged white guy who owns three cars.
Wait, Varsha. He owns three cars.
Fuck. Jesus. So he's like, the DNC rigged the primary. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, like, basically told us. They admitted it. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? But, like, mainly, you're like this rich, privileged guy who owns three fucking cars lecturing me about fucking, like, socialism and, like, redistributive politics. Like, what the fuck is happening right now? So, yeah.
It's called the patriarchy, and it's also called men are trash drink.
Thank you.
But, oh, Varsha, I really just want you to, I mean, I just want Varsha to text me and keep me apprised of all of her dates, because I really
enjoy it.
They're
really fun. I think it could make a really hilarious memoir one day, because, like, I will collect a lot of really bad ones. There's other stories that I can't share on a live stream or on a podcast that are equally as hilarious.
Yeah, totally. But so, Varsha, I think we've come to the end of this experiment. I actually feel pretty good about having done
this. I feel
this.
Much better. I was stressed.
I was stressed. I mean, I was so stressed. I was like fucking just crying all over the place. But I think I just needed a little, like, something more fun. Something to remind me of why, you know, we got into this in the first place. Like, yes, it's very serious. Yes, it's very important. But it's also about connecting with an audience. It's about analyzing what's going on. It's about being present in the political space. And sometimes it's very serious. And sometimes it's drinking a glass of wine with a good friend and making fun of Ted Cruz. And I feel like that's what this has been. I mean, we don't live in the same city. You are a youth. You're a youth.
I love how you say it, like, you say dates? It like Tina Fey in that 30 Rock clip where she's, like, walking outside and she sees these youths and she's like, oh my god, youths, and she runs away.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel about it. So, so sometimes politics is about sitting down on a Friday night with a good friend and a glass of wine and making fun of Ted Cruz. And sometimes politics is much, fuck Ted Cruz. Actually, I was going to say drink. Because fuck Ted Cruz. But Varsha, thank you so much for spending your Friday night with me. I know that you have amazing things to do and Prince Harry lookalikes to date. So thank you for spending it with
and
me.
I'm just going to say, I know this isn't like a typical podcast, but action items. If you like to imbibe alcohol, imbibe alcohol. If you don't prefer to imbibe alcohol, register to vote. And then do something else fun, like put on a face mask or something. It's like, whatever you do you this weekend.
You like do you
Heidi
this weekend,
Cruz,
yes.
But
relax.
Less complicit. No, like Melania Trump, less complicit.
But less complicit. Do you, bitch. Do you. Exactly. I love that. So, yeah, take a breather. We're going into the last, the final sprint, the last 2 weeks until the midterm. So take a breather. Have a glass of wine or don't. Do a face mask. Register to vote. I don't know. Yell things about the patriarchy into the void.
Oh,
whatever works for
you. I have a really
you.
Good self-care routine that I've just come up with. Okay, so you open Google Images and you either search John Cho pictures or Better or Work pictures, whichever one you prefer. Whatever floats your boat.
Whichever one is working.
You pour out a glass of wine, put on a sheet mask, and just scroll. Boom. Excellent Saturday night. You are set.
Oh my God. Wait, Varsha, are you doing that right now?
I am actually looking at pictures of Better or Work right now. Because we were talking about Ted Cruz, I clicked on a Beto link, then I just got sucked in.
You're in a hole. I get it. All right. Well, Hellions, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for having a glass of wine with us on a Friday night. To talk about these things that are, it's all very serious and very scary, but we are here for each other. And what I was kind of trying to say earlier is Varsha has become one of my closest friends. I would never have met her if not for Hellbent. You know, I have created friendships and connections and communities, and I could not be more grateful. So thank you all so much for being here and have a great weekend. We will be back here on Monday, refreshed and ready to go. Raise some hell and remember to practice some compassion. And you know what? Some self-compassion.
Yes.
Look at those pictures. Do that face mask. Hey, Varsha. Men are trash. Drink.